1, 2, 3, let's go!
What's up, prep? It's Sydney Liardi.
And Jack Coleman.
And this episode of the podcast, we're talking about college admissions. And later in the podcast, we'll have an interview with Miss Foy, one of our two college counselors here at prep. But before then, Jack and I were just going to talk a little bit about the college admissions scandal of 2019 and how COVID has affected college admissions in the past year and a half. So, Jack, 2019 college admissions scandal. What was your first reactions to hearing about what happened?
Oh, I was definitely surprised at a lot of the tactics that the wealthy people used to get their students in, or sorry, their children in. But I also thought it always been going on. I just did not realize to that extent. And yeah, it was pretty crazy. But what about you, Sydney?
I'm gonna be honest, I thought it was weird. I don't know, I felt awkward thinking about, like, if my parents were to do that for me. I think that I would feel kind of offended that they felt the need to spend that much money in order to get me into, like, a school. And yeah, I kind of assumed that there was, like, some shady stuff going down, but I thought the amount of money that everyone spent and, like, the whole, like, business that they had set up for it was a little too intricate for what it was.
Is it that the parents care too much or too little?
Maybe too little. I think that if my parents did that, I would feel like they don't think that I'm smart enough to get into college.
That's true. But what if they were just being so nice to you, they're like, here's $500,000 to scam your way to Harvard.
That's true. I don't have $500,000 to make that decision, but we'll see. Looking at this past year and being freshmen in high school, seeing all the juniors and seniors having to go through COVID, and especially on top of, like, these two hardest years of high school, what was your first reactions to seeing what happened, and what did you think watching all these people have to do SAT testing and college visits and applying virtually or not at all?
Oh, it's just all stress, I feel like, to me at least. I don't know. I'm not a very good test taker, so I'm a little worried about that scandalous PSAT or SAT coming up. I don't know how I'm gonna do. I have not done a single college visit yet. I am your most prepared college applicant right at this moment. But yeah, I'm excited to start looking at colleges. I have no idea what I'm gonna do or any of that. I don't know. What is your deal, Sydney?
I felt so bad for all the juniors and seniors that had to go through it, because I used to have, like, so much, I still do, have so much anxiety for, like, these years and having to go through it normally. And then to have, like, oh, we're going to take tests in, I don't know, Auburn or some Mammoth or crazy area. And then it gets canceled, and then some or schools take it, then some schools don't.
Yeah.
Too much confusion for me. I barely get by as it is here.
Yeah.
But I go to these college visits and I get really, like, overwhelmed and then also interested in going to the college. And then I'm like, well, I couldn't even get into some of these.
Yeah.
So, like, what am I considering here? Yeah, I'm kind of glad it's winding down a little bit for us, even though there's still some weird stuff going on with being able to go to visits.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And not going, like, able.
Yeah, but there's, like, some Zoom stuff, right? Yeah, my sister had to take her SAT thing all the way in Idaho. Like, they had to just drive out to take it.
That's terrible.
And then, then they had to drive all the way back. And they, it was, yeah, definitely a long one just to take a test. But, she had to take it, like, way later because all the tests were canceled in Washington or, like, filled up in Washington. So, yeah.
How's your sister doing now?
How's my sister doing now? Well, she got accepted to UW, so she's going there right now. She very excited. She just got into her sorority. She was very stressed out, though, because she did not, with UW, they don't take the SAT. But she was also, like, worried because they had a bunch of, because this year, a bunch of the people who skipped a year, if that makes sense, they're all going to college now because of COVID. So she had to, like, fight, like, the acceptance rate at these schools were much lower. So it was much more stressful for her. But yeah, she ended up getting through, and now she's going to school. Best school in the state. Best school in the world, honestly.
Yeah.
UW. Go Dawgs.
Okay. With that being said, we're going to get right into our interview with Ms. Foy, where we talk a little more in depth about these two topics of the college admission scandal and COVID with college admissions. And she explains a little bit more about the process. We wanted to talk because we were interested in doing a podcast about college now, and especially since it's towards that weird end of post-COVID, but still having like the effects of it. And we kind of wanted to take a bigger picture and look at what has changed, not only from COVID, but looking at the 2019 college admission scandal. Even though that was like a small group of uber wealthy people who did that, we wanted to see how that has been like a reminder of how flawed the college admission system is, and just expand a little bit on that. So before we start, if you could just introduce yourself and say what your role is at PrEP.
Yes, I'm Sandra Foy, and I'm the Director of College Counseling here at Seattle PrEP.
And how many students do you work with at a given moment?
So seniors, I think I have 92 seniors, and then we start working with juniors also as the semester goes on, and it just varies from year to year, but typically we'll be working with about 180 to 190 students, most intensively with seniors in the fall.
Okay. And how long have you been a college counselor?
So I've been doing college counseling I've been a counselor actually since 1979, if you can believe it. But I've been doing college counseling since about 1995.
Yeah. And how long have you been at PrEP?
So I came to PrEP in 1979, and I was here till 84. I left for a while, and I was an elementary school principal and a high school vice principal. And then I came back in 1991, and I've been here since then.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
What have you noticed are the biggest hurdles with the admissions process in general?
Yeah. So I think, you know, one of the biggest challenges actually for students is kind of figuring out, first of all, that there are so many great matches for them, you know, and finding places that they really love and they can afford and they want to go to. I think something that's just challenging in general is that people tend to focus on a small slice of the number of colleges that are available.
Yeah.
And they tend to be, of course, the ones that are harder to get into. And so that does shape people's anxiety around this, right? So people get worried that, you know, I'm not going to get into these schools when actually there are so many wonderful schools to go to.
Yeah. What is your process for finding the right college for a student?
Yeah, so, you know, we start actually here by trying to encourage people to learn about the different kinds of characteristics of colleges. So instead of starting with a list of colleges, we hope that students will begin to think about how they enjoy learning, what kinds of places they like to be, what kinds of dreams they have for their future, and then kind of looking at different kinds of colleges to see which types of environments might match for them. And then going from that to figure out, okay, once I figure out, you know, what size of school I want to be in, where I want to live, what kinds of things I hope to do, then trying to kind of figure out a list of colleges that include some colleges that we feel super confident the student's going to get into, and some that are maybe what we call more possible. The student fits really well into the characteristics of students who get into that school, but they don't take everyone. And then maybe a few reaches, schools that are harder to predict because they take such a small number of students, right?
Yeah. So transitioning into looking at 2019 and the college admissions bribery scandal, even though that focuses on like a select group of these parents, the cautionary tale caused
a lot of people to reflect and be reminded of the entirety of the college admissions process, its flaws, as well as like the inequalities in the nation. So what was your initial reaction to finding out about the college admission scandal, both personal and as a professional?
Such a good question, because I think, first of all, I would say this. I think there's two kind of important parts to this, right? There's the part that deals with the people who actually did this, you know, and what they were hoping to accomplish, and the fact that that felt super unethical, you know, mm-hmm. and inappropriate. But as you mentioned, there's the bigger question, which really has to do with the whole question of college admissions and how that plays out. And I think the thing that I have thought about the most as I think about this is actually not about these individual people who did this thing that I personally think is, again, really unethical and really unfortunate, but it's made me think more about college admissions and the fact that colleges, you know, if you think about it, most private colleges in this country were actually founded to serve the wealthy and the gentrified. And they were founded to, you know, train lawyers and politicians and ministers of wealthy people. And what has happened over time is that, first of all, the number of people who actually go to college has grown exponentially, right? So that many, many more people in our society aspire to go to college. And colleges also have recognized that there is a richness in inclusivity and diversity and broadening the communities that they serve. But along with that, you still have this element of college, you know, admissions where it still remains the case that people who have more money are more privileged in the process, right? I mean, if you think about it, you could kind of go to the bigger level and say, oh, well, colleges, you know, they do recognize like large donors to the college, etc. But even just for normal people like us, if you have money, you can do test prep, you can go to a school like this, you can, you know, get counseling services to kind of help you through the process in a way that a lot of people cannot. So there's a part of this where that scandal really kind of pulls into focus the notion that it isn't an even playing field. It's not a meritocracy, right? Mm-hmm. And yet we want it to be, right? We want it to be more fair. We want it to be more based on what people have achieved and the opportunities everyone should have. So in my mind, the thing that that scandal did was just kind of pinpoint that again and remind us that there's still a long way to go in that regard. It's still very, very difficult for people who don't have resources to make this work a lot of times, right? Mm-hmm. So there's that part of it. And then of course the part with the people who did this, I think, you know, I was asked myself, you know, what's the line between criminality and pay to play, right? What's the line between, you know, I bought a building at Stanford and so, you know, my kid has a chance to get in there, right. And there's a part of me that feels like, well, the colleges, I think all the responsibility is being put on the people who did this, mm-hmm. and I think there's still a share of responsibility that should be accepted by colleges. Like, yeah. How were these people able to do this, right? Yeah. Unless the colleges, in some sense, went along with it. Yeah. That's my thought yeah. about it, honestly.
No. And then, kind of, like, going off of that, where do you think the weak points are in the college admissions process that allowed the scandal to run unchecked?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's just that if you have money to yeah. employ these people to help you, I mean, I think there's a whole industry that's kind of grown up around this, right? So there are people who advertise that, you know, I'm going to work with you and your student from the time they're in middle school or elementary school and make sure they do all the right things and help them get in. Then there are people who genuinely really do help kids, right? Like they know a lot about colleges and they help you get your applications done. But all of that depends on having the resources to be able to afford that. So I think one of the things that would even the playing field more is making sure that all kids in all schools have access to really good college advising and assistance, you know? And again, yeah. and one of the weaknesses in the system is that currently, you know, most of us who do this work are regular counselors first. So I was just a regular counselor who became interested in this and, you know, spent a long time learning about colleges. Some people who work in college, as college counselors, came from the college side of things. So they worked in admissions and then came to the high school. But there's a lot of high schools in this country where they have school counselors who work with kids who do a wonderful job, but they maybe have no background in college admissions. Mm-hmm. You know, and so I think one thing that should really happen is really making sure the resources are there for all kids. So whether you go to Seattle Prep or you go to Roosevelt or you go to Cleveland, you know, you're going to get really good access to advising and help to help you through that process. That would be a thought I have.
Yeah. And then how has COVID affected the college admissions process? I know there's a lot of testing changes and things like that, but what have you noticed are the biggest changes of it? And of those changes, what do you see as being a temporary COVID change, or what's one that you see as like longer lasting?
Well, since you mentioned testing, I think that's a good place to start. Mm-hmm. I think that's been a huge change in the whole college admissions process, that because it was so difficult to attain testing for most people, most colleges in the country, at least last year and this year, have become test optional. The silver lining in that is that there really are a lot of students who are really good students for whom their testing profile doesn't really represent how good a student they are, right? So for those students, and for people who can't afford to pay all this test prep and everything, right, it's opened up some doors, right, to be able to access college admissions in a way that they hadn't been able to. And then kids who are really good at testing, for whom it's a real value add to their application, many of them have still managed to find a way to take a test, right? So I think it's brought some sanity into the whole testing arena.
Yeah.
How long lasting it will be, I don't know. We just had Northwestern here, and she talked about how they're really looking at remaining test optional long term. So I think is that there will be more schools who offer the test optional option, but I do anticipate that some of the most highly selective schools will return to wanting testing. So that's one change. I think another huge change is that students couldn't fly all around the country and visit schools. So last year, they had to pick schools that maybe they only saw on a virtual visit, right? So that was interesting. And what was interesting to us at Prep is that we actually had the most diverse group of colleges that kids chose to attend last year than we've had in a really long time. So interestingly enough, it seemed to have broadened people's thinking about where they wanted to go as opposed to narrowing it. Whereas the year before, when we first got into the COVID, you know, so when we first entered that COVID thing, that was like in March of the year before, right? And those kids, a lot of them sort of wanted to stay close to home. I think people didn't want to do virtual school, you know, and pay $70,000 to do virtual school. So you had a fair number of kids saying, okay, I'm going to go to the U.
Yeah.
Because if I'm going to do this, I don't want to spend that much money. So the impact has been that kids have had to learn different ways to learn about colleges. I think the silver lining, again, is that colleges have put more resources into having better online resources for students so that you can sit down in classes, do tours, learn about the school. Even for our college visits here, about a third of them this year are virtual, which means that some of those schools that would not have come to visit us otherwise are going to visit virtually. So I think that's good.
Yeah.
The downside is there is nothing, I don't think, that can replace actually walking on a campus and getting a sense of the vibe and the culture of the school, because so much of that makes a difference in terms of what you choose.
Yeah. And finally, just if you could, you're definitely all involved in seeing how the college admissions process works, and you watch the students as they go through it. Are there aspects of the college admissions process that come top of the mind to what you would change if you could?
Well, if I could make this less stressful for people, I definitely would, right? If I could help students know at the beginning of the process that at the end it's going to be okay, then I would, because I think every year we do experience that. In May, sorry about that. In May, people are celebrating, right? In September, they're worrying.
Yeah.
So if I can make it less stressful for people, that's something I would change. If I could, I guess that's the main thing I would change. It's just, you know, I just wish that there wasn't so much hype in the world about this, because honestly, I've talked to a lot of students in retrospect who tell me, I had a student who really wanted to go to Bowdoin or Claremont. Had mm-hmm. this small liberal arts college in mind, loved those schools. And this was back in 2009 when the economy all of a sudden crashed.
Yeah.
And that student's father all of a sudden lost their job. So at the last minute, she went to Marquette, because Marquette gave her, she was a really, really top student, and Marquette gave her a bunch of money, right? So she went. And then the following summer, I had lunch with her, and I said, you know, what's your year been like? And, you know, what do you wish you knew at the beginning that you know now? And she said, and I'll never forget this, she said, I really wish I knew when I started this process that I could be happy at a lot of places.
Yeah.
Because it ended up being the best experience for her, and she doesn't regret for a moment that she went to Marquette. She had a great, great 4 years and lifelong friends, and but I'm sure didn't feel that way when she had to make that choice initially. Yeah. So, yeah, that's what I wish I could somehow impart that to people.
Yeah. Well, I think you do. Thank you for allowing us to
interview.
Thank
you guys. Good luck. That's an interesting topic to take on.
Yeah.
Boy, I think there's a trial coming up for some of those people.
Yeah.
Well, what's interesting, you should know this, it's interesting. There's a trial coming up for some of them, but it's the first time. So in the other trials, people have basically pled guilty and gotten a reduced. But there's two people that are going on trial that are pleading not guilty, and they're trying to put the colleges on trial.
Oh, yeah.
To say that it was the college's fault. It's interesting because I'm not sure they're getting the evidence admitted, and so I mean it's kind of a tension between that. But that trial, those two trials will be really interesting to watch to see how this all plays out in the next few months.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Good luck to you guys.
That's it for this episode, Prep. I'm Cindy Liardi.
I'm Jack Coleman.
And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Catch you on the flippity flip.